and confess it to God. Remember that He's enough and He's done enough, and it's in the past. Yeah. God, thanks for all that You've done for us, and I'm sure it wasn't easy. Even though you can do all things, doesn't make it easy. And thanks that you're enough. And we really want to welcome you here today, even though you're kind of everywhere. But I guess you're only really involved with us if we let you. So I invite you to be a part of today and to guide this church service for the best and the rest of the day and the rest of the week. And you're the reason we're here, and it's your kind of love that inspires, and your kind of wisdom that guides, and your forgiveness that frees. And so thanks for all of that. I might get Steve to pop up, if you can, Steve. He's just going to give us a bit of an update on what happened with the Bottle Festival. Apparently there's some cool stuff went down.
Thanks, Milton. Yeah, great to be together again. And I know the Wattle Festival was 2 weeks ago, but if you were here last Sunday, there's a lot going on, wasn't there? So we just sort of put the Wattle Festival in the background just until today. But on behalf of the church, Brett, Ollie and I, just want to say a big thank you to those that pitched in and put in a big effort. We don't want to neglect saying thank you, because some of you did put in a big effort. My day started with the Wakefields. Any Wakefields here down at the Uniting Church at 9 o'clock? How about that, eh? That was a great start to the day. We joined in as the Uniting Church on behalf of all the churches prayed for the day, and it was actually a very special moment to be with them. And then my day concluded with Ollie and a couple of his kids, Keziah and Abel, was it? Hadassah. Oh, what did I say? Keziah. Oh, Hadassah. Sorry, Hadassah. I know who Keziah is, and it's not you. Sorry, Hadassah. We had fish and chips, didn't we? And then we went to the Green Wedge service with Jasmine. Is that right? Jasmine and the crew there. So that was a nice way to finish off as well. But in between that, there's a lot of things happening. And I do actually want to just mention a few names of thanks. And I'm not going to remember everyone because I am forgetful, and it was 2 weeks ago and I wasn't everywhere all the time. But I do want to put a big thank you out to Ben. I don't know if Ben's here, but he put a lot of the kids' stuff together and it was ready for us when we rocked up. So a big thanks to Ben, even though he couldn't kind of put in himself. And then a big thanks to Jed and Kalina. Is Kalina or Jed here? She's away. Okay. They got on that kids' table and made, I don't know, 1,000 crowns. They were there. They put in double time. So a big pass on a big thanks to them. Charlene and your crew cooked a heap of very nice muffins, blueberries and chocolate and all sorts of things. So thank you, Charlene and Lauren. Got it that time. And some others there. And some others cooked and brought food as well. Big thank you. And Dimmy and Luke, such soldiers, under the weather, under the pump, feeling not that crash hot at all, but soldiered through the day. So good on you guys as well. I'm sure there were others that pitched in, but I did want to just call out a few names just to recognise people's efforts on the day. As the day concluded, as I walked home, I have two reflections, just very briefly. One was the enormous amount of people that live in our district. And they all came to Hurstbridge that day. I mean, it was quite phenomenal. 18 degrees, beautiful sunny days. Spring had arrived a couple of days early. And there were lots and lots of people in town, which reminds me there's a lot of work to be done with God's help, because they're certainly not all in churches on Sunday morning. There's a lot of work, a lot of need in our community. And related to that, I know some of us had some really good conversations with people. And one, I'm having a chat with a guy, caught up with him on Friday actually, having met him just across here. Yeah, we're over here on the Sunday morning. So you could pray for other conversations that we've had. I know Ollie bumped into someone right at the end of the day and had a good reconnect with Jamie. Yeah, so there's some good conversations. And the other thing was and related to a lot of work to be done in the spiritual realms. I don't know if you realise, but as we were leading up to the day, people just sort of began to fall like flies for one reason or another. And I know I mentioned Luke's sickness and others just for different reasons couldn't turn up. Dear old Rich, he turned up looking like death warmed up because he wasn't well as he arrived. And Kathy, my wife, was vomiting 2 days earlier along with Asher, and I wasn't sure if I was going to also join them in that club. Thankfully, I didn't. There was just a lot going on. And just from my perspective, it was like, wait, I think there's something going on here. And having been in Ephesians chapter 6 not that long ago, stand firm, put on the full armour of God and watch and pray, was very much on my heart that day. So, let's keep working as we love our community in different ways. And I know we're doing something this morning. I'm sure we'll hear a bit more about that in a moment. Thanks again for your efforts, and let's lean into the Lord and His Spirit as He guides us as a church, as we interact with our communities. So, yeah, thanks Milton, just for a chance to reconnect. And leading into next year, we'll focus on the Wattle Festival again and give it a bit more prep time too, if we can. If people want to put up their hand to do that, that'd be great. Thanks Milton, good on you.
Yeah, thanks Steve. Apparently I didn't welcome everybody, so welcome everybody. Good to see you all, it always is, especially from up here. Hey. You go for a clap if you like. No worries. Good. On you guys. I can see everything from up here. All the little subtle things that you think nobody sees. on you guys. Don't be shy, don't race you out the door, have a chat with someone after. Plenty of friendly people around and get to know somebody. I was reminded of at the start of COVID, the church put out a survey. I don't know if anyone here did, probably some of you did, and it said, what do you need, and what can you give? And there was a kind of few extra detailed questions around that, and it was just the idea that we might connect people up with needs and people who've got stuff to share with the survey. Anyway, I wonder how you guys are all feeling today. You know, you come in here feeling like, you know, you've got an excess to share. Are you feeling like you really need something? Maybe take a moment to think. And maybe it's a bit of both. It's probably a little bit of both for all of us, you know. Even there's that story in the Bible I was thinking of before. There's a story of this lady. She's very poor, and she makes an offering, and Jesus is watching her making this offering, and she just puts one tiny little coin in, and he says to he puts that out to his disciples, and he says, she's put in more than these wealthy people who have just kind of tipped their bags of cash in, Anyway, I just want to share that with you. Hopefully that means something to you. If the kids want to go out now to kids' church, I think something's going on out the back. Hopefully somebody knows what's going on here. they're already gone. Oh, here we go. Oh, here's Ben. Hey, Ben. Sorry that was too soon, mate. Have fun, guys. Hope you learned something cool. Maybe I'll just call Ollie up and we'll have a pray, eh? Thanks. God, please look after Ollie today and I just ask that you'd guide his lips and steer his mind, as those ship's pilots steer the boats out of the port through all the rocks and the reefs and whatever else they've got. I ask that you'd be the specialist kind of guiding his preaching today, through what's needed for each person here.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, all. Good to see you. Thanks, man, for leading us. That was really just such an upbuilding time to praise the name of the Lord together. It was wonderful. It had such a joy just to fill your lungs and then just to shout out, praise the Lord, and then to hear other people doing the same. So thank you for leading us in that way. Yes, as Stephen was saying, it was an eventful week, last Sunday. Many of you probably heard for the first time, and I'm presuming most, or if not everyone has, but Stuart, the lead pastor of the church, is going to be wrapping up at the end of October in his role. He's been leading what is now the Vine, previously Eltham Baptist Church, for about 14 years now. So it draws to end quite a significant season in the life of the church. It's exciting looking forward. Anyway, Aaron, Stu and I were sitting down and sort of plotting out, all right, what's this going to look like? And we figured out Stu has 4 more sermons left to preach at the Eltham campus, which was like, whoa, I could imagine what that feels like a bit sitting on the end of that, like, what am I going to say? 4 sermons to go. And he has one more here, so he'll be here in a couple of weeks' time to preach his final sermon with us in that role. So I look forward to that. Anyway, we just thought, look, we better just give the space to Stu to just preach what the Lord is laying on his heart, to really minister to the body as he is preparing to transition and preparing the church to transition and everything. So as we do, we try and keep in step here at Hurstbridge, by and large, with what's happening at the Eltham campus. So I'm also preaching topically for 4 weeks. And what I've done is I've had it on my heart for some time to preach about homosexuality, which I'm not going to do today, actually. But I've had it on my heart to preach about this because there is a need for us in the church to hear good, clear teaching on this. I desire to do that. I desire for us to know where, as a church, we're standing, especially in the trajectory of where things are headed in society. So I'm going to be talking to that in a few weeks' time, on the 9th of October, it will be. So feel free, if you'd like to hear that, or come along, or even invite a friend, you're more than welcome. But that's going to be a time and space where we're wanting to look at that. So I'm going to preach sort of looking at what the Bible is saying about homosexuality. Then the following week, look at how that's sort of meshing with our society and our church and all that's happening. So exciting times. And as I reflect on that further, I thought, I'd love to also speak about these a couple other things. And so I've decided to call this sort of period of time, the series is called Christ and Culture. And looking at the culture that we are in society, and the culture that Christ brings, and the difference between the two. So this week, I'm going to speak today on money and possessions. Something is very much a part of our culture. And then next week, I'm going to be speaking on entertainment, which will be great. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to today as well. So, on money and possessions. But I'm going to read this passage, which just overarches all of these weeks on Christ and culture. This is from Romans 12:2. Many of you will be familiar with this verse. And Paul, writing to the church in Rome, said this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And this captures the heart of what I would love to see take place during this time as I'm unpacking these things over the coming weeks, is that we look out and we see the ways that we have either knowingly or unknowingly become conformed to the pattern of the world, whether it's in regard to how we're entertained, how we use our money and possessions, our belief about homosexuality, whatever it might be. There's many other things. These are just three I've selected. But in regards to the culture that's around us, let us not be conformed to that. Instead, we need transformation. How? By the renewal of our mind. The way that you think is crucial. That's why there's such a pressure around education, how people educate. What happens if you conform the way someone thinks? It's a powerful thing. The way that someone thinks can lead them to a place where they can hop on a plane and try and blow it up with a bunch of people in it. It can lead someone else to a place where they would like to, you know, do this, that, and the other. That's all around how you think, what you believe. It's so important. And we need that transformation of mind. You need that. I need that. I tell you what, my mind is in need of transformation. I tell you that. So that my life can be transformed, and so does your mind. And the way that you're going to receive that is by coming to the Word of God, opening the Bible for yourself. You cannot just listen to it preached on a Sunday, brothers and sisters. You've got to learn how to open the Bible yourself, how to dig into it, and say, Lord, open my eyes to see the areas that I'm blind, that I can be transformed. I can't do this. I can't transform myself. I fully believe that. In my experience, it is the things that I speak to, they're not mine. I'm just finding things in here. As I pray, as I search diligently, and I seek to apply, I then unpack and explain as best I can, articulate it. May you do the same. Let us be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it says that by testing, I often think, when I think of this verse, you know, like on a site, a building site, there'll be a man with a hard hat, a high vis, he have his work boots on, but then he has no tools, he has a clipboard and a pen. And he's walking around and he's testing to see how everything's going. Oh, that's out of line, that's not good. No, this is measuring up, that's all, yep. There are people whose role and responsibility it is to check that sort of a thing. And as you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, not being conformed to this world, you may be able to test. You'll be able to go around in your life with that clipboard and pen and say, I can see that's out of line here. I shouldn't be doing that. Or I can see this is not right. I shouldn't follow my friends down this course. Or I shouldn't delve into what I'm watching here on YouTube. I need to stop listening to this music or listen to this that I might be built up or encouraged in this way. You'll be able to test anything and everything. And that you may discern what is the will of God in every situation simply by the transformation of your mind. That you might know what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That is a powerful life, and that's how Christ lived. And that is how we live as we're transformed in that fashion. So, looking forward, let us be transformed. Today we're looking at money and possessions. And I'd like to start off, what I'm going to do is I'll just sort of hop around the Bible, just a few verses here and there, but I'm going to start in Mark chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus has just told a bunch, is telling parables in this chapter. And the first parable he tells is about the parable of the sower. Many of you will know it. And then he explains, and the disciples say, ask him about it, and he explains the meaning of the parable. And at one point in the parable, the man is scattering seed, and he scatters the seed at one point among these thorns or weeds. And the wheat grows up, but so do the thorns and weeds, and it says that it chokes them. And so Jesus explains this in verse 18 and says, the ones sown among the thorns, they are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. I'm going to read that again. Just let this sink in. The ones sown among thorns, they are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And as I've reflected on this passage, I have realized that that is a very apt description of the church in the West, by and large. Not 100%, but a lot of it could be described like that. Choked and unfruitful. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of wealth and riches, the worries of this life, the cares of the world, all these things. And I wonder if you have taken the time to pause and reflect, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to test, are you being conformed to the pattern of this world in this area of your life? Or are you walking in the will of God? Can you test and approve what is good and right in this area in your life? Would you consider that you are someone who has, at points, or maybe often, unfruitful in the word that you have received, in it yielding the fruit that God desires in your life, because there is something consuming you? The deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things, or the cares of the world. I want to ask this question, a few questions here, that you can sit with and test what's happening. Are you in a place where you desire the wealth that you can have from money and possessions more, or the wealth that you can have from God's kingdom more? What do you desire more? The wealth that you can have through money and possessions, or the wealth that you can have through God's kingdom? In your heart, what would you honestly say? And this is where, brothers and sisters, it's so important for us to come to the Word of God and allow it to test our hearts, that we can discern. Because without that, we're so often good at judging ourselves in a very good light. Look how good I am, or, you know. And of course, I would never say that, you know. You would never say that. But we can think about it. You know, I'm not caught up in the snare of money and riches. Like, look at my life, you know. There's heaps of people who got more money than me. But when we come to the Word, can we say that we're desiring the wealth from God's kingdom more the wealth that we can have through money and possessions? If you're unsure about the answer to that question, this might help you. Do you spend more time thinking about the next thing that you can buy or purchase, whatever it might be, or the next thing that you can receive in the kingdom of God? Peace, righteousness, joy. The next Xbox. Next computer that's coming out, the next guitar, the next thing for your vehicle, the next thing for your garden. What are you looking for online on eBay? What do you do when you go through Doncaster Shopping Mall? What are the places you like to visit? Do you think about these things more, and what the next thing that you're going to buy, the next thing you're going to get, or working towards that big purchase, you know, getting a house, maybe the next car you've got, you know, the new phone's coming out, the clothes that you'd like, whatever it may be, there is probably something that you spend time thinking about that you would like to buy. And the question is this: do you spend more time thinking about those things, or do you spend more time thinking about, Lord, I need peace in my life. How I need joy. I cannot get it over here. I've got to come to your kingdom to receive the fullness of that. Because I would say that the one that you spend more time thinking about is betraying who you serve. Christ said this in Matthew chapter 6, in a very forthright, loving fashion. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever is valuable to you, whatever you treasure and you desire, that is what is going to cause you to delve into it and to receive it, to get it, to obtain it. And if it's those things, whatever it might be, I could maybe put a catalogue in your hand. Maybe it's of tools, you know, chainsaws, whatever it might be, cars, travel. I could put a catalogue in your hand and you would love to flick through it. But then I put the Bible in your hand. Do you love to flick through that? Can you see the difference? Can you feel the difference within you? Wherever, brothers and sisters, your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christ went on to say this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Brothers and sisters, let me apply this verse now into your own meditation as you're reflecting on the place that you find yourself in relation to possessions and money and pursuing wealth there and pursuing the wealth of the kingdom. You cannot serve both, brothers and sisters. That's what the Lord's saying. If you have found that you are more desirous for the things of this world, then I will apply what Christ says here and I will say that you're in a place where you serve money and you despise Christ. Let me read this to you again. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Brothers and sisters, are you found in a place before God where you serve money and despise Christ Jesus? If you are, I can tell you there is hope if you would like to come out of that place. And you can do that through the power of Christ. As I'm preaching, do not hear me saying money is bad. Having stuff is bad. No, loving money is bad. Loving stuff is bad. Serving money is bad. Serving stuff, having it is fine. Jesus had stuff. He had money. Paul did. You know, Jesus had things that were very valuable. I don't know if you noticed that. On the day that he died, there were men who took one of his garments and said, we don't want to tear this, we'll gamble over it. This is worth a lot. Jesus had possessions that were valuable. It's not a bad thing to have something that's of value, but it's if you love it, if you serve it, if you desire it, and if you're in that place, then we could say that we are in a place of despising Christ, of not serving him, but we're devoted to the one and despising the other. And why would we do this? We don't often walk in the doors of church on Sunday and think, I'm in a place where I despise Christ. That thought is far from us because we're not being transformed by the renewal of our minds. But let us come, let us be transformed. And this is confronting perhaps, but it's good. It's good that you know this, that you can do something about it. But how could we come to a place where we would be found to be despising our Lord? I believe it is this, because we do not know the value of Jesus Christ. We do not know him. You do not know Jesus. If you love money and possessions that much, I can say to you, you do not know Christ. You don't know him. And part of the reason you don't know him is because you are so blinded by a temporary fading treasure that is going to pass away. And it has consumed you without you probably even being aware, become so great. And brothers and sisters, let me say to you, you might think, okay, look around. I'm someone who haven't got a lot of money. I haven't got a lot of, you know, this and that. But you can be consumed with the thoughts of these things, with the desires of them without even having money. You're still serving it just like the person who's got the money and can get it. What difference is there? The desire of your heart betrays you. And that's not something that I can discern. That's something that you can discern before the Lord. Maybe I might see the fruit of that expressed in your life in some way, but that's what you have to come personally, brothers and sisters, before the Lord, into a place of discerning and judgment. Just like we're reading in Romans 12. Test and approve what is good, what is his will. Praise be to God that there is an answer and a way forward in Christ. What I want to do, though, is just to unpack a bit more of the depths and the ugliness of the love of money. Because outwardly, it looks quite fine. It looks good. In fact, it's even admirable. How often do we admire when someone has wealth or value or a lot of stuff, you know? How often do your eyes follow that person's car, or as they pull out the latest phone or the clothes they're wearing, you're like, man, isn't that nice? And yes, there's a level of health in appreciating good things. Don't hear me saying that. Don't, you know, take the bouquet of flowers and throw them out and trample them. No. These things, it says, if they are received with thanksgiving, they can be received in purity. If you can rejoice that someone has a better car than you, or a nicer phone, or the house that you would like, whatever it is, or the ability to travel, can you rejoice and be thankful? That will lead you to a place of purity. But I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and you can flick there if you like. I'll spend a little bit of time here. And verse 9 and 10. And what I'm going to do is look at the things that a love of money pulls us away from, and a few things that the love of money pulls us into. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 says this: "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Brothers and sisters, even keep guard on the desire. When you notice that you're going to that place, say, "Lord, help me to pull out of here. I need your help. I'm finding myself in a place where I desire to be rich." Do you desire to be rich? It says, you have fallen into temptation. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. There's probably not a person in this room who has not desired that. Let's be honest. Let's be on guard. Into temptation, they fall into a snare. It's something you cannot get yourself out of. You can't break out of that. Once you start playing with that and toying around, you're going to be caught in there. That's a trap. Like, you're not going to get yourself out of there. You are stuck. See how it says there are many senseless and harmful desires. Senseless in the sense that you begin to become numb to things. You're not sensing straight. Suddenly your desire and your love for money makes your heart grow cold in other areas. Where normally you would have been compassionate and kind to your family members, maybe you're a bit harsh and terse with them. Just brushing them off. The many harmful desires that come from it. They plunge people into ruin and destruction. See, you look at someone who's getting more and more wealthy, and you wouldn't say, "Wow, look at that person. They're plunging into ruin and destruction." You don't think like that, do you? You think, "Wow, man, look at how much they've got, you know? All these things." And Paul goes on, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And this is chilling. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Some of you are a bit younger in the church. If you speak to some of those who are older here, I'm sure that they could bring to mind people through their journey of faith who they can say, "Yes, I have seen this person wander away from the faith because they loved money and they pursued it. And they got it." It says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. There are a couple of examples I thought of in the Old Testament. One is King Solomon, who was raised to such a high position through a lot of the work of his father David. And he received much wisdom from the Lord. Yet for all of his wisdom, it was through the love of his money that he brought about a downfall for Israel. Also, the love of women was there for him. You'll know of Elijah and Elisha, two prophets. Elisha had a servant, and his name was Gehazi. And on one occasion, in 2 Kings 5, there's a man who comes to him, and he's a very wealthy, influential man. And he comes bearing gifts, and he has leprosy. And Elisha, through the Lord, heals him of his leprosy. And when he's healed, he comes to Elisha, and the man says, I want to give you all this stuff. I've got talents of silver, changes of clothes, even gold for you to have. Thank you. I have not been able to receive cleansing from this leprosy anywhere else, even though I've sought it. And Elisha says, no, I don't need anything. To use the words that we were singing today, Elisha was saying, Christ is enough for me. We were all singing that together, brothers and sisters. Christ is enough for me. Let us put our money where our mouth is. Is Christ enough for you? Or do you need a few riches on the side? Do you need that extra game, that other purchase online, that new thing? Is it Christ and, or is it Christ is enough? That's what Elisha said. Christ is enough. He didn't use those words, but I don't need the money. I have riches already. Anyway, his servant Gehazi was downcast, and after the man left, he ran after him in secret. And the man turned to Gehazi and said, is everything okay? He said, no, everything's all right. My master's well, it's okay. But he said, there's actually a few men who have just come, and they need some chains of clothes, and a bit of silver would be helpful. He's like, oh, here, take two things of silver and some clothes. And he's like, thank you. So he came back with all this stuff that he'd taken, and he hid it. And then he went in, and he stood before Elisha. Fool! That's a prophet! Elisha said to him, was I not with you when you went to the man and got what you wanted? How did he get it? Through lying. And he lied again to Elisha. It is through the love of money that is a root of all kind of evils. Because in order to possess that, brothers and sisters, how you are going to have to let go of other things, but how you will get what you want if you want it like that. You'll begin to be lying, deceitful. And it might be only a little bit. But once you're in the snare, man, it's strong. It's hard to get out. And how your hand wants to close on more of it. How you find yourself on eBay or Gumtree, whatever site it is, you know, or surfing that site that you know exactly where you can get the things that you want. You sign up to that magazine. You become a member. You're in. You've got it. But what are you sacrificing, brothers and sisters, to get it? True riches. Let us take the blindness away and see. Let us not be conformed to this world. You will go to a place where you will have financial fears. You will have financial anxiety over your future. You will not be able to trust in the Lord because you desire wealth and riches so much. You'll begin to value vanity and external appearance over the blessing and purity of inner beauty. You'll begin to gratify other fleshly desires, even as you've gratified your desire for money and possessions. You begin to become stingy and tight, unwilling to give even when you see a need, hard-hearted, calloused. And this is very dangerous. You will begin to love success and influence and power and greatness. For with these things comes money. And that is a deadly place to be, brothers and sisters. How destructive a life is when it lays hold of the love of power. And any life can go to that place apart from Christ. Myself included. We all need to be on guard. You need to keep me on guard. Please. I need you. I want to walk with you. I want you to walk alongside me. I want to walk alongside you. That's why I preach like this. For your sake. For the glory of Christ Jesus. This is the things that it draws us into when we begin to love money. The things that it takes us away from are this. Exactly as it said. That when the seed is sown, the good word, it is sown among the seeds, it grows up, yet it is unfruitful. It chokes. What is your spiritual life going to begin to look like, brothers and sisters, when you love money? Your desire for spiritual growth and change in your life, but you'll see no lasting impact. You will probably sit in the same place for a long period of time, trying to hit the accelerator, not realizing you have a baggage of weight that you are holding to with all the money and possessions that you desire that are just spinning the wheels and causing a lot of smoke. And at the end of the day, your spirituality is a frustrated, worn-out reality of disappointment for you. I don't want that for you, and that's not why Christ came, that you can walk in such a fashion. But if you've chosen to, I cannot make that choice for you. Brothers and sisters, you will be able to be bought. I don't know what that might look like in your life. But if there is a devil, which there is, he will come to buy you. There will be a price at any point that you begin to serve money. There will be a price that you're willing to pay. It might be a high price. It might be very costly. But then with time, it will become less and less. And you'll be willing to pay less in order to get what you want. And the devil, to keep you from being ineffective and fruitful in your faith, will come to you to buy you with stuff. And you will with pleasure willingly agree, not realizing that you are in the snare of Satan, producing an unproductivity in your faith. This is the way, brothers and sisters, that Judas walked. He was able to be bought. The price was 30 pieces of silver in order to betray his friend who had lived with day in and day out for 2 years, the most holy man he would have ever seen in his life, and he knew that. Can you imagine living with Jesus for 2 years straight? And after that, you haven't got a closer relationship than that, probably. Maybe your husband or wife. Can you imagine, after 2 years of marriage, someone saying, for 30 pieces of silver, I will go and divorce? That is the place a love of money will take you gradually to. Your desire for the things of the Spirit will begin to wane. It won't be so important for you anymore. Peace, righteousness, joy, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they will lose their preciousness in your sight because something else is of far greater value to you and is far more precious because you have fed that desire through how you've lived. And that is how, as Paul has said, with the lessening of desire, people wander from the faith. And I believe you've probably seen people do that. Praise be to God that we have a Savior. You have a Savior personally for your situation. No matter what degree of love of money you're finding yourself in, there is a Savior. And His name is?
Jesus.
Amen. You know it. But go to Him. Don't just tell me His name. Go to Him. Don't just say it with your lips. Go to Him. Speak to your Savior. Talk to Him. Share the depth of where you're at in honesty and genuineness. He knows it. He loves you just the same wherever you are at. Go to Him. Don't just tell me His name. You know, there are two men that we read about in the Gospels who came to Jesus who were ensnared in the love of money. And there were the same way of freedom was found. One of them received it. One of them did not. The way of freedom was this: give away what you have to the poor. Give away what you have to the poor. If you are finding yourself, brothers and sisters, in a place where you are ensnared, give your money away. I would say that is what Christ would say to you. That is what Christ said to two men. One was a rich young ruler and the other was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't even need the prompting of Jesus. He came to that place himself and said, I'm going to give to the poor. If I've cheated anyone, I'll repay it several times. And Christ said, salvation. You have been saved. Salvation has come to this house today. He said that of Zacchaeus. He's been saved out of his love for money. He could never do that. He was ensnared and he didn't even realize. If you want to be free, give to the poor. And give so that it hurts you. So that it stings. Sting that desire. You tell it who your master is. It is Jesus Christ who is your master. And then come, broken, humble, saying, Lord, how I've been blind, how I've not seen, how I've disregarded you, how I have despised you because of my love for money. Humble and then crying out and saying, Lord, alone you can save me. Where else, brothers and sisters, are you going to turn to find salvation out of your love for money? You go out there and find it. You will not find it. It is only in Christ Jesus and the revelation of his life. Come to him and cry out for that. Seek it. Learn how to pray out of the depth of your heart and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to go about it, but I know what I need, and that is rescuing, and I know you can do it. Talk to him, and he loves that. He declares in Psalm 51, a broken and contrite spirit, the Lord will not turn away. If you come in that posture, brothers and sisters, you can believe that promise. He will not turn you away. He will receive you like a loving father embracing his dear child into his arms with great joy and relief that he can work with you. Even as Milton was saying when he opened, I want to invite Christ in, not because you're not here already, but because without opening our hearts, you will not work within us. Open your heart, brothers and sisters. There is freedom to be found in Christ. I want to reflect on this in closing. What is truly valuable? At the end of the day, what is truly valuable? All the things that you desire, the next tool, the next gardening equipment, the next, you know, saving up for the house, the whatever it is, and yes, you might have need for it and it is right for you to buy it. I'm not saying never spend any money again, please. Don't hear that. Go and buy the things. Get your groceries. Get a new phone if you need it. Get a new car if you need it. But let the clarity of the coming day of Christ be what guides your decision making. Because that car, that phone, that food, it's only for this life. What is it that you need? Anything that you buy or possess can be diminished or taken away. Christ said, moth and rust will come and destroy. Rot. Thieves will steal. It'll be broken. I tell you what, if you've got children, you're going to have a lot of broken stuff in your house. How we get trained and equipped as adults, hey? Anything you buy, even the money that you are saving or hoarding, even if you deny it to be hoarding, it may be that, I don't know. Whatever it might be, that can be taken away from you. Shares, whatever. Yet, heavenly riches can never have any of this happen. Can you for one moment diminish the power of the blood of Christ? Who can do that? Not even Satan himself can, as much as he would love to. He cannot touch that. The resurrection of Christ from the dead. The most powerful event to have ever happened in the history of man, that is the most powerful event still affecting people today. Cannot be diminished. No one can rob that. No moth, no rust can take away from that. You cannot touch heavenly riches. They are eternal. They abide forever. And not only that, they have value in this life and the life to come. Your phone, your new trousers, the new gardening equipment, the new stuff for your music or whatever, they are going to end. You're not going to be able to take them with you into heaven. Paul says, naked you came into this world, you're going to leave it naked as well. They might dress you up and put you in a coffin, you're still going to be naked at the end of the day. That's how you're going to go. And as you meditate on this, brothers and sisters, again, being transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Scripture, you've got to read this. You've got to believe it. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to allow the Scripture to fall as a judge on your own life and then come in humility to the Lord to change. And as you do this, you will have the wisdom to say, I don't need that kind of phone. This one will suffice. I want to invest my money in this way. I want to see God's kingdom grow. I need groceries today. My children are hungry. I like that. I can see that my motive is right in getting it. I would like to have it because I would like a good thing. I would like to have that. Oh, I can see my motive is wrong. Let me stay my hand. Lord, thank you for helping me to see that. See the clarity that the Lord wants to give you and how without Him you're at the mercy of your own lustful desires of what you want to possess. And as we allow, we weed out these weeds that are choking us, the fruitfulness of the harvest that God desires will be shown for what it is in our lives. And you will walk in peace, in trust, in joy, in faithfulness, in loving kindness, in compassion, to greater depths than you currently do. Oh, how I want to receive that from your life. How I want to give that to you from my life. And we can through Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is chapter 8, verse 9. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Christ has done that for each and every one who will receive it. He had all riches in heaven, abandoned them, to come naked, born as you and I, of the flesh in the world. To be sinned against, to be spat upon, to be despised, to be mocked and ridiculed. He became a poor man so that you and I might become rich. Brothers and sisters, may we walk in the same fashion, following our Lord Jesus Christ. May you become poor, forsaking the riches that you have, that you might be able to make many rich through Christ Jesus, following him. Heavenly Father, we give you glory that you have loved us this much. How you know. You created the world, Lord. You know our need of possessions. You know our need of money, Lord, because you came and you worked. You had money yourself. You paid taxes. You had to buy things. You ate. You clothed yourself. You had a home for a time. But Lord, how you know the work of the enemy to pull us into such a snare, Lord, that we serve not the living God but money. And Lord, I ask that we would continue to grow in you, that we would not walk in blindness, being deceived by the fading light of the possessions and riches that we can have here on earth, but see them for what they are and use them in a godly fashion as Christ did, that we might reap the fruit of your glory in our lives as you work within us unto your precious name. Thank you, Lord, that this is your work and that you are doing it within us by your power. Amen.